right. Hello, Bulls fans and NBA fans in general. Welcome to an exciting edition of the Chicago Bullseye. I am your host, Mark Lewenthal. With me, as always, is the man, Fred Pfeiffer. We got also now a regular on the show. You're probably co-host as well, Tim Gallagher, coming in here to talk about what I find to be the most exciting basketball trade, probably in the history of trades, in terms of stars going in their primes from team to team. I am amazed at how many names are changing places, how many salaries are going back and forth. This trade, to me, biggest trade of all time. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'll start off, and I'll just say, I mean, I was absolutely floored that this trade happened. I can't really recall many situations where the two best teams in the conference made a trade together. I know it definitely hasn't happened in recent history, and I'm sure Tim, the basketball historian, will help us out with that one, but I think it was a great trade for Cleveland. If what is true that LeBron's going to leave, and I think that's very likely that he goes after this year, to get that number one net pick is just unprotected. It's just unbelievable. I think Ainge probably feels this way, and I've heard a number of other people mention it, that they think the Nets are going to be better, you know, probably not in the bottom five of the league. I don't know about that. You know, I mean, that's a pretty big risk, because if that ends up being number one pick again, and that pick is, you know, Porter, Bagley, who are supposed to be once-in-a-generation stars, that is a huge get for Cleveland and actually a pretty good move. You know, and again, a lot depends on how that next pick is and how Thomas recovers from his injury. I mean, people forget that was a serious hip injury. Who knows if he's going to be the same? So I really felt that you know, overall, I think Cleveland got the better of that deal. What say you, Tim?
You know, I think for today, I think that Boston got the better end of it, just because I'm very high on Kyrie, and then that they've added Gordon Hayward. I mean, I think it's pretty close. In fact, I heard today that in Vegas, the team odds of winning the title, neither one changed, even after the trade, which I thought was interesting. So they saw it pretty much as a wash. I mean, maybe that'll change as time goes on. But one other thing before we get far into it, but I think this is my 50th appearance on the Bullseye. So a little celebration.
Congratulations. Hey, congratulations.
With you guys. Yeah. Yeah, I went back and kind of did a log of all the episodes. So anyway, it's been a real treat in 50 episodes, so a nice milestone. But, yeah, and back to the trade. So, yeah, I do think it's a little bit of a wash as well in terms of, you know, I don't know if this is significantly going to improve either team's chance to get to the finals. I think they both had a decent shot at it even before the deal, and I agree that it's been very rare that teams will trade to a team within their conference and, you know, in quote-unquote helping out a team that is their immediate rival in terms of getting to the finals. So I thought that was unusual. And, you know, I've kind of said all along on the podcast that we previewed playoff series and the performance of Isaiah Thomas. And I just think with a point guard that small, that's just not someone that's going to get you to the finals or to win a championship. And I think that's still going to hold true as he moves on to Cleveland. And even with LeBron, and I know they acquired Rose, but again, we've talked about many times on the podcast, I think Rose is out of gas and at the tail end as well. So I'd say for the immediate term, I think this is going to help the Celtics a little bit more. And I'm a big fan of Kyrie Irving. I actually saw him play as a high school player at the Torrey Pines Holiday Classic, and is probably in the top 8 or 10 high school players I've ever seen in person. And just from that moment, I was very, very impressed with what he's done. And I was surprised that he didn't want to try to ride this out with LeBron a little longer. I know there's a lot of elements and layers to the story in terms of if LeBron leaves and Kyrie doesn't want to get stuck there and so on. But I'm very high on him and being paired with Gordon Hayward and the coaching of Brad Stevens. I think this takes the Celtics up a notch a little bit in terms of this trade. Mark, what say you?
Yeah, I'll tell you, when I was at the gym when I first heard about this, and I didn't have my headphones on, and I just saw on the screen the players that were involved in the trade, and I didn't know that the pick was involved. And when I first saw the trade, I was like, you know what? I think Cleveland won this deal. And I didn't know the pick was involved. And when I saw that the pick was involved, I nearly toppled over. Because Danny Ainge has been sitting on this thing now for 2 years. He could have gotten a legit star just for pretty much the pick alone. And he has sat on it now, you know, multiple years in a row. He could have gotten Butler. He could have gotten George. He could have done a lot of things to pair another star with Isaiah Thomas. And he chose not to do it. And then in free agency, you get Hayward, and you still have this pick. And now to give up that pick for Kyrie Irving, who I don't really think takes you to the next level. I think he's better than Isaiah Thomas, but I don't think he's much better than Isaiah Thomas. Thomas coming off the hip injury, fine, but Thomas isn't going to be asked to. You got to think that that team last year, the Celtics team, did not have a lot of offense. Everyone was focused on Thomas every single night, and his numbers were better than Kyrie Irving's. Now he's 27. I get it. Player for player, I get it. I'd rather have Kyrie Irving as a long-term solution on my roster, but if I'm Danny Ainge and I'm sitting there and like, what's the plan here? Because originally it looked like you were planning to take over in the future. You had all these assets. It looked like you had the brightest future imaginable. Now you've gone all in, and this is your team. And you've only got like two remaining players from last season. I look at the starting lineup and I compare it to last season's starting lineup, and I don't think it's much better, if better at all. I think it's pretty close. So for me to feel this way, I feel, and you've given up this huge draft pick, I think it's a complete waste. Because I mean, Kyrie Irving, there's something wrong with a player that doesn't want to play with LeBron James, and that's going to the finals every year, that's getting 20 shots a game, that's averaging, you know, 20 plus points a game. You're just going to a situation now where it's you can only lose. You're going to have all the pressure in the world on you. Everyone's going to judge by how they do compared to last year. They were the best team in the Eastern Conference throughout the season last year. They made the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't think this makes them better than Cleveland. I don't think it takes them to the next level. So what are you really doing here? I think everyone is very prematurely assuming LeBron is going to leave after next season. And if you ask me, why the heck is he going to leave?
What's wrong with Irving? You just criticized Irving for not wanting to stay with LeBron. All of us, are unanimous in believing that he's probably going to leave after next year.
I'm not unanimous in that.
That's why he's leaving.
But why? Why would he leave?
LeBron would more likely stay. Because he doesn't want to stay there. He doesn't like the owner. I mean, it's pretty well documented. They have major issues. I don't want to go get deep into this topic. We touched on it before, but it's well known throughout the league that there's a good chance that LeBron's going to go next year.
He's nuts if he does. He can't win in the West. In the West, it's a bloodbath. Where are you going to go and have a better chance to win than where you currently are? And Cleveland, if you ask me, they're much deeper than they were before. Cleveland, I think, is a better basketball team today than they were 2 days ago.
He just bought a house in Brentwood. He lives there now. He sold his house in Miami. He likes it out in L.A., and he's got a choice. He can join the Clippers or he can join the Lakers.
Please.
I think any situation with LeBron James is going to be great. And he already got ball there at the Lakers.
I would bet you my paid-off car that he does not go to the Los Angeles Lakers. This guy wants to win. He's not. He's at the at the tail end of his prime. No, he's not. You're going to go win in the what? Because they got Lonzo Ball in his $500 sneakers. What are you going to do in Los Angeles to try to take over the Golden State Warriors? You won't make the playoffs.
He's going to bring another good player. Someone else is going to sign there. It doesn't matter where LeBron goes. Wherever he goes, he's going to win. Tim, what do you think?
Let me jump in here and a couple things. And as far as the trade, I think right now, like this coming season, I think it's going to benefit Boston more. However, down the road, I'm assuming LeBron leaves as well. And I think he is going to be motivated to win, but I think just my intuition and my observation is that he's not that he's ever going to be satisfied, but I think he's won enough in the sense of getting to the finals so many times and having several championships. And he's still going to strive for that. But I think for this next phase of his career, I think looking ahead to business ventures and the L.A. scene and the fact that the Lakers are on the upswing and with Jerry West in the front office of the Clippers, I don't know if they're on the upswing just yet, but I don't think things are going to get worse with Jerry West overseeing what they're going to do, although they're going through this transition with Chris Paul gone. So I think long-term Cleveland is helping themselves in terms of that number one pick, as Fred mentioned, is very intriguing to me. And the other thing that I've heard talked about and I've thought about with that number one pick, and I'm assuming they're going to keep it either way, because I think Brooklyn's going to be really bad again, and that is going to be a very, very high pick. And if you can get a Michael Porter, and we'll get into lottery-type players here, I'm sure, down the road, especially since the Bulls are going to be involved in that mix, I'm sure. But
right.
The other thing that Cleveland could do is if they are making a run, and it looks like, you know, the East is theirs for the taking, and Golden State could be within reach, that they could use that pick and just go for it all. And maybe the Paul George thing isn't working out in OKC, and it's a very high price to pay. But maybe, hey, this is our one last run with LeBron, and you know that pick, we don't know how it's going to pan out. Even though there's some elite players projected in that lottery, let's get a Paul George or someone like that. On a team that's crashing and burning, and there's a player like that that could take them even to another level with LeBron, I could see that happening as well, although I think that's less likely. I think either if LeBron stays and they can get a Michael Porter Jr. or a Bagley III or someone like that, or if he leaves, then you've got a centerpiece to start building around for the future.
Do you
Absolutely.
If he stays, though, I think that if LeBron stays, this team could potentially take out the Golden State Warriors, because you're already hearing now that Wade is going to get bought out from us. He'll likely go to Cleveland. I mean, Wade was an NBA player last year, definitely a deserved starter. You know, he was still very good. If they get one more piece, people, Jay Crowder was not a throw-in by any stretch, and in the playoffs, he's going to help them tremendously now that LeBron doesn't have to consistently guard the best player on the other team.
Absolutely.
It's going to be huge, especially against a team like Golden State, where Crowder can guard Durant, and now LeBron, who's he going to take? I mean, he's going to make a much bigger difference now defensively because he's got Jay Crowder out there. So, I mean, overall, I think this team, as is, has a better potential right now. But also, you've got this flexibility. If they get Dwayne Wade, and if they flip the pick, or even if they keep the pick, but if they flip that pick and get another star, I certainly think they can beat the Golden State Warriors. I mean, they weren't that far off. This team was not nearly as deep last year as I think they are right now. So yet another piece. This team's mega deep.
Let me jump in here real quick, because I want to mention something that I think is kind of a little understated. When LeBron left the first time in 2010, the idiot owner comes out with that letter. That letter still bothers him to this day. And that's on a number of sources. And now, since he's already won the title for Cleveland, he's redeemed himself with the fan base. He's made it. He's come through on his promise. He's already won the title and handed to them. If he goes, the blame is not going to be on LeBron. It's going to be on the owner. He has set this up perfectly now that he can do whatever he wants, and no matter what it is, the fan base is going to be outraged if they leave. The blame is going to be on the owner. LeBron's going to say he fired the GM I liked. He didn't bring me enough talent. He got rid of, you know, whatever, however he positions it. The owner's going to take the majority of the blame. So
why wouldn't LeBron want this situation? Why would he want, and as far as the GM goes, this new GM comes in and he makes what I think to be the greatest trade ever for a star that is disgruntled that wants to leave. Look at the other two players that got traded this offseason, one of them for our dear team, that got traded Jimmy didn't want out, but you knew that Paul George wanted out. Jimmy, you know, it was time for a change, but you knew that Indiana and the Bulls were teams that wanted to get rid of these guys, and look at what they got for them. The fact that this guy can come in, you knew Kyrie Irving wanted to leave. Kyrie Irving was already starting to say that he wasn't going to come to training camp. Like, you knew you had a major problem. The fact that they were able – and the fact that – and, I mean, you know, Tim, you're saying you think Boston won this deal. I've heard a lot of people – I've heard differing views. I've heard some people say Boston, some people say Cleveland. But nobody can tell me for sure that they really think – that Boston is that much better from this trade, that it's really changed anything. So the fact that you can't say that and you gave up a number, this huge, huge, huge pick is just mind blowing to me. I can't imagine why
LeBron, what team can give him
a better chance to win?
It all comes down to where that pick goes. And looking at the Nets,
they'll be garbage. They don't have Brook Lopez.
I looked at the roster again today, and, you know, I do feel they are one of the five worst teams in the league. If that ends up being one or two, and Cleveland's able to get Porter or Bagley with it, oh my gosh, what a steal that is of a trade, you know, overall. In fact, you can even let Thomas go. If Thomas doesn't come back from his injury, which I think is possible, and doesn't play well, you can just let the guy walk. And just and if LeBron walks, then you just do a full rebuild around this number one pick, whoever that is. You got Jay Crowder on a bargain contract. You can absolutely turn that into something and just do a full rebuild. Or you could sign, you know, you could go ahead and sign Thomas, you know, to a max deal, get this number one pick, and then hit the ground running. I did want to mention really quick about – I got an interesting email, and I did want to point up some of the highlights in it and get your opinion on it. And this is from Affly Riv, who's contributor to the Bullseye. He made this, I thought, pretty good point. Cleveland did get a lot in that trade for Kyrie. It might be the best haul for a team trading away a superstar. They got a point guard replacement who is probably Kyrie's equal on the offensive end, Jay Crowder, who will fit in perfectly with smaller Cleveland lineups as a four. He's also on a great contract. That unprotected pick from Brooklyn, which will likely be top five. Zizek was a first-round pick last year, which I didn't know, and then a large savings in luxury taxes. I think it's a savings around $27 million. For Boston, they're building around a core of Irving, Hayward, and Horford. Horford has maybe two more years before his play starts falling off. They will need Brown and Tatum to become very, very good, or this is going to be a mistake.
A disaster. I'm looking at the starting lineup. Kyrie, Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, Marcus Morris, and Al Horford is the likely starting lineup. Because who do they got? This team has no one anymore. They've gotten rid of everyone. Avery Bradley's gone. Kelly Olynyk's gone. Everybody's gone. It's insane. This was their starting lineup at the end of last season. Was Bradley, Crowder, Horford, Johnson, and Thomas. Only one of those guys is still there.
Right. I think losing Avery Bradley and Crowder, those guys are very underrated contributors and role players. Another element, though, of Boston that I think is a win for them is it does get them off the hook of having to re-sign Isaiah Thomas, which was probably going to be demanding a max contract, which I don't think he's worth for his age and size. And so there's some value there
million.
To Boston as well that relieves them of that situation, because obviously he was a fan favorite and a very productive player, but you know, I'm still continually amazed he's achieving what he is in the league at his size, and I don't know how long it can continue. And even as much as I admire what he's done, I saw him play in person at UCLA when he's playing for Washington, and I've always, like I said, admired what he's done. But how many guards under 5'10 have had led teams to the finals or won an NBA championship? I can't think of any before for decades, right? So
that's Boston Celtics.
If you're trying to win championships, I think the Celtics needed to make a move like this. I don't know if they're going to do it, but
that's a great point. Ben. I mean, if you had to sign Thomas, he's going to cost over $30 million. You already are on the books in 2020 for Hayward at over $30 million, Horford over $30 million. You're really going to have Isaiah Thomas at $30 million, $90 million in three players who I don't think are anywhere near good enough to win you a title, probably even against Golden State in 2020. So that's a great point.
But I think a big problem, though, is that this lineup I don't think really puts you there. I don't think Kyrie Irving is a top 10 player in this league. I don't think that he's going to win. This team, I think, is going to struggle to be as good as they were before. And I think I have a major problem with that, because it's like if you're replacing – I understand the concerns with Isaiah Thomas and re-signing him, but, you know, at least for Cleveland's sake, he's only going to be 28 next year. If he has a good season, he's still much younger than LeBron, so he could clearly play out the rest of LeBron's career with him. Even if he breaks down at a younger age, he's still young enough. So, at the end of the day, I just don't see where this really – this really takes Boston to any other type of level. They're going to keep – they've gone all in. This is their team, and I don't see them ever making a finals with this team.
Well, I do feel that Tim touched on this. Avery Bradley is a big loss. I think he was better as a role player. Last year, if you look at the playoffs, he outplayed Butler in the first round several times. He's an excellent defender, fantastic defender. And this does lead to another topic. Like, I heard, of course, as soon as there's any trade, somehow the Bulls manager gets hammered. You know, how were they not able to turn Butler into, you know, this deal? And the fact is, it's just the plain fact, and it should be clear to everyone, Danny Ainge doesn't think Jimmy Butler is as good as Kyrie Irving. I know there's a lot of people in Chicago who feel that way. I disagree. I think it was proven that Irving is a big-time player in the playoffs. He shoots 90%
sure.
from the free-throw line, 40% from the three-point line. He's an excellent shooter. And, you know, he's not as good as defensively as Jimmy, but he's just a better prime-time player. I think there's questions, you know, based on Jimmy's performance this year and in the past, on whether or not the guy can bring it to the next level in the playoffs. And, you know, I love Jimmy. He was great for us, but Kyrie Irving is overall, I think, if you're going to build around one guy, I'd rather build around him. Tim, what say you about that?
Well, I agree. And, Fred, I enjoyed that article that you tweeted. It gave some additional perspective to that Bulls trade to Minnesota. And it compared Indiana trading Paul George to OKC and just the difficulty of getting equal or better value in these kind of deals and the perceptions a lot of us have of these players and what is their true market value among other NBA front office executives. You know, we may have it a little bit inflated at times or what's realistic. I agree. If Danny Ainge really wanted to, he could have gotten Jimmy or Paul George, you know, some way. He might have had to overpay at the time, but obviously he had some contingency plans, which he just put into play now. And I think Tatum is going to be pretty good pretty soon. I know he only had 1 year at Duke, but from what I saw in the summer league and everything I've heard, I think he'll probably be a step ahead of Jaylen Brown, even though he's a little bit younger, in terms of contributing to Boston right away.
I think it's really I have not enjoyed all the talk of, you know, we should have gotten more or whatnot. And it's like, just look, I mean, Paul George is arguably better than Jimmy Butler, and you saw what Indiana got for Paul George. You saw what Sacramento got for DeMarcus Cousins. Every single time a team is trying to dump a big-time player, they never come close to getting any sort of value for them. And I think the two things with Kyrie Irving is that he's 24 years old, and second, he is just better than Jimmy Butler. It's just, I mean, I do believe that Kyrie Irving is a star.
He's younger, too.
I don't believe that he is a super-duper megastar that's going to necessarily win you championships, but he's clearly a star. And yeah, to any Bulls fan that's like, we could have gotten more. The fact is, there's only 30 teams in this league, and there's only so many teams that have the ability to make a trade. And you saw, if you've been reading about what Cleveland was also, who they were also talking to, Phoenix was the number one other team, and what they were offering was nothing compared to what Boston ended up giving them for Kyrie Irving. So it's just, it's only what players have, and only one team had that draft pick to pack together with an asset like Isaiah Thomas. It was only the Boston Celtics. So, I mean, at the end of the day, yeah, we didn't have the option of being able to do. I do believe, obviously, the Bulls got the best that they could have gotten. As do I think that the Pacers, though they seemed a little salty about it, I think that the Pacers got the best they could get for Paul George.
Yeah, Tatum, though, he better be the real deal. I mean, considering they passed on Bulls, really. And and then you trade this pick, which, again, if it comes up one or two. I did want to talk to Tim really quick on Bagley, because in the interim since the last time we did do a podcast, he has committed to Duke, and he will be eligible for the NBA draft. He did. Tim, if you don't mind giving us a little slow 1-1 on Bagley, who, according to many draft mix, is right up there, one or two with Porter. What's your take on him and your comps, and give us the full 1-1 on Marvin Bagley?
Sure. Well, and I have seen him play in person. I saw him earlier this year. He played for Sierra Canyon High School, which is in the San Fernando Valley up in Los Angeles. So I saw him play against Bishop Gorman, which is a powerhouse team from Las Vegas that had several D1 players, and Sierra Canyon blew him out. Bagley had, I don't know the exact numbers off the top of my head, but I'd say 36 points and 18 rebounds and was dominant. It looked like somebody inserted Chris Bosh into a high school game, that kind of thing. And that's how he's built. He's kind of long and lean, left-handed. Not a real, he doesn't really have to shoot from the outside, but someone that can kind of go coast to coast, runs the floor pretty well. kind of plays a little bit in cruise control in the sense that he's probably been so much bigger and better than most players that, you know, that that's just the way he looks. But, I'd say the negatives are, he was at three high schools in 3 years, and now he's finishing up early and on the fast track. And I haven't read where he's officially eligible at Duke, but I'm assuming if Duke's got him coming in, that it's already been lined up. It's not going to be they're not going to hit any roadblocks in terms of getting his eligibility, and not with Coach K. And that's probably one reason he went to Duke, just knowing that if Duke's trying to streamline and expedite the process, nobody's going to question Duke. So another red flag is that his AAU team in the spring, I read that they were 2-14. So I don't care if you put the three of us and some guy off the street with them, you'd think that they would be better than that. Again, I don't know why his record was so poor, but I verified it with a couple of sources. So that kind of concerned me. And I just don't know that he's transcendent. I think he's a very good player. And I'd say his ceiling is a Chris Bosh level, which is, there's nothing wrong with that. Although when Chris Bosh was in Toronto, he was talented, but they weren't getting into the NBA finals or anything until he hooked up with LeBron. So I'm much more intrigued with Michael Porter Jr. As far as if it came down to those two guys. But certainly a very interesting prospect and very athletic. His grandfather was a guy named Togo Joe Caldwell, who was a legendary player at Arizona State, played in the NBA and ABA, mostly in the 60s and early 70s. So there's some good bloodlines for him as well. So that was his mother's father, Togo Joe Caldwell. So anyway, that's my quick overview of Marvin.
Great stuff. Great stuff. Well, the Bulls got to get one of those picks. It's got to be a top three. I mean,
we got to buy our Wade.
Why don't we talk a little bit?
We got to buy our Wade if we want to do that. If we want to do that, we got to buy our Wade. And, you keep hearing that they're at a stalemate right now. And it's like, I don't want to wait till the trade deadline to drop Dwayne Wade. I mean, I don't care if they have to eat the salary. I just saw today, I had no idea. The Bulls are the lowest payroll in the entire NBA right now. And you consider it with about $64 million. If you consider that with Wade, if they are able to get rid of Wade's salary, they're like substantially the lowest payroll team in the NBA. Well, Nico's only making seven, but you need to get rid of...
That's 22, though, Mark. The Lakers are going to need to move Deng's contract. They have to do that. And there's no other team that's better suited for that than the Bulls. Because you have the biggest expiring contract, coming off the books that's going to be moved potentially moved this year. So, with all these horrible deals that were signed in 2016, I keep on making this case, I think expiring deals are going to be back in vogue. And, the Bulls might have a good one with that. And if Nico takes a qualifying offer, he's another guy if he decides to take it. Do either of you know if he takes a qualifying offer, does he have a no-trade clause? I think he may. I'm not entirely sure if he ends up taking it. It'll be very interesting to see. But, it's well-deserved for Nico. He sucked last year, and he deserves being in this situation. All he had to do was come up with a season like he had in the previous one. He would have made a really nice paycheck. But he was an absolute abomination for the vast majority of the season. He has a great March, which brought his numbers up to respectability. But let's not forget how terrible he was. And he was, to me, the number one reason why the team did not live up to expectations.
For sure. But, I think now you look at this team and you've got a bunch of guys that are on rookie-scale contracts that are making less than $5 million a year. You got to do everything in your power. I mean, people are saying right now they think the Nets won't be so bad. And it's like, well, because they got some nice young pieces. Fine, but you traded your best player. It was like a 20-5 guy. I mean, nothing that they got is going to make up for the production that they lost from Brook Lopez, who was in his prime right now, and he was shooting the ball like he offensively, he was great last year.
He was hitting threes.
They aren't going to make up for that. I don't like D'Angelo Russell. I don't think he's as good as – I don't think that he's not going to lead them to anything. So, I mean, are they going to be better than they – could they be as good as they were last year, which was pretty bad? Maybe. I think they're going to be worse, but I certainly don't think they're going to be better. So you're dealing with other teams that we have to compete with, so you got to get rid of Dwayne Wade.
Tim, what was your take on Buffalo?
Brooklyn won 20 games last year. If they win 22 this year, I'll be shocked.
Did you like Russell?
Mark,
you're on California. I'm sure you got to see him a little more than we did. Were you a fan of his?
I was not. No, I thought he played much too casual. There were some off-the-court things as well that were disruptive in the locker room. And, I mean, they're throwing parades out here that he's gone and Lonzo's in because, as you've all read and seen and heard about Lonzo, just his unselfishness and how much his teammates love being around him and playing with him. So nobody's missing D'Angelo Russell. And to get Brooke Lopez to get Brooke Lopez to unload Russell and then Mozgov and his contract, I mean, that alone should make Rob Pelinka executive of the year.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting season. I mean, right now, if you look at the teams out there, they're tanking. Who's
a lot. Yeah, but there's a lot of teams that are tanking. That's the problem. You have a lot of bad teams. Indiana.
You got Atlanta, Indiana. Who else?
Orlando's still really bad.
Tim, what do you think? If you had to say right now, look around the league, how many teams do you say are worse than the Bulls?
I would say for sure Brooklyn. Certainly,
I agree.
Philadelphia is on the way up a little bit, but these guys still haven't proven anything either with health or on the court performance. So I would say, I would lump the Bulls in. Even this depleted Bulls team, and I'm assuming Wade's going to be gone off the roster. So I would lump them in with Brooklyn, Philly, Orlando. In the West, I would say, Phoenix will be a little better, but they're very young as well. So I would say in those handful of teams, I would put them in that group.
I personally say as long as they drop Wade, I think that Phoenix has a lot of good, young players. Philadelphia was already on the up and up last year. It was just another injury. But, I do think Philadelphia's – I don't think the Bulls are going to win 28 games, and that's what Philly won last year. I mean, I really think it's really going to be a fight fest in the East between, I really think, us and Brooklyn, because it's New York's obviously better than we are. I would think
Indiana's
Orlando with who – India, you're right, Indiana. Indiana, that's – you're right. Brooklyn and Indiana. And then who else, right? I mean, is Atlanta? I'm trying to remember what has Atlanta done. I know they've
Atlanta lost obviously their two, probably Dwight Howard. They lost
Teague.
Millsap's gone. Yeah, Paul Millsap, their best, probably their best player. He's gone. It's definitely a rebuild there. So I would say Atlanta's right there. But I think the Bulls are going to be competing. You're right, with Brooklyn, and I think Indiana's going to be really bad.
But that's why you got to get rid of Wade. I think that the problem, if you have Wade, you have a chance against some of these teams. And I think if you don't have Wade, our starting lineup is going to be completely pathetic. I mean, we will have nothing to – I mean, you're just going to be watching – I mean, because I don't even think our young guys are that good, frankly. I feel like maybe with Lowry you got something. Maybe, we'll find out. But I don't have any stock in any of the things that we got from Minnesota in the Jimmy Butler trade. I think Chris Dunn is a bust. I think Zach LaVine's coming off an ACL injury, and it's okay, fine. So you have one guy on your team that's capable of maybe scoring 20 points, which I find you've seen these ACL injuries. The guys don't come back. They're not amazing right away normally. They take time if they're ever that good again. I mean, I think you got to get rid of Dwayne Wade. You got to cut your losses now, pay him whatever he wants, let him go to Cleveland so that they can be even more of a super team, and let's just bask in the glory of really sucking.
Well, what do you think the time frame is with Wade? Do you think it's strictly a negotiation on what the buyout's going to be, and then he goes?
They say he wants $20 million of his $23 million salary, which I think is fair. The Bulls gave him that offer. In my opinion, the Bulls made no effort to put a winning team on the court last year. There were way too many holes going into the season. They really didn't make much of an effort to build a winning team around Jimmy Butler. So in my mind, it's all right, you built this mess. Pay for it. Just pay Dwayne Wade $20 million of his $23 million. It's more of a benefit to us to not have him on the team next year. So just pay it. And I hope the time frame's short because you're hearing that it could be the that it could be the trade deadline. And if it's by that point, he might win you a game or two.
Was Taj Gibson on that team last year? Oh, yeah, he was. And how much did he get from Minnesota? I mean, we act like that team was, like, ridiculous. Was Rajon Rondo on that team? He had a pretty decent year. He's still in the NBA. It's not like he's a bum. I understand that and Ron Lopez is a rock-solid center. I mean, it's this. We act like the team around Jimmy last year and Wade was just, like, a disaster. I don't buy that argument. Doug McDermott, you know, did not live up to his potential. Still an excellent shooter, probably top 10, 15 in the league. You know, who's still going to be in the NBA for a long time. I don't understand. Like, everybody's like, oh, this is just the worst roster. No, I don't think they did a good job meshing together. They did. It's clear they did. But I don't think it's garbage.
They gave up on him. I mean, they gave up on when they traded Taj Gibson, they threw the towel in for the season. And now you see in the playoffs that, I mean, obviously Rondo got injured. But if Rondo didn't get injured, we actually had a chance last year in the playoffs, and things did kind of come together towards the end. And if we had those assets that we traded, we may have been somewhat competitive. So the fact is, they kind of threw in the towel early on. They didn't really – Dwayne Wade had, like, a month here of us thinking that maybe we could be a somewhat competitive team with the core that we had built. They didn't really give it much of a shot. So in my personal opinion, it's like you blew it up and you signed Wade to a 2-year deal. The Bulls seemed pretty aware of what they were doing, you know, by Christmas last year. It seemed like we kind of knew what their path was. So just cut your losses and call it a day. They already have a very low payroll. Just call it a day and let's get rid of Dwayne Wade, because that's just going to be painful, man, to watch Dwayne Wade on this Bulls team next year. It's going to be painful. Chris Dunn missing passes over his head, a mile over his head.
Or it'd be painful seeing Dwayne Wade in his street clothes knowing he's collecting that money on the bench. But
or winning games, right, even worse.
Well, yeah, that's the other aspect of it, right?
Yeah.
That's the worst of the two options. But I know for me it would just kind of bug me to see him in street clothes, though, knowing that he's getting paid, even though at some point they will pay him off and make the move. But, you know, Fred, I was thinking, though, with the Bulls coming up with the money to buy him out, they did get that infusion of cash for that Jordan Bell second-round pick, so maybe that'll help put him over the hump.
Exactly.
Money. Yeah, I know. Bell looked good in the summer league too. So,
yeah, he's going to be a fantastic defensive player. And, you know, I kind of got over it by telling myself Bell's a role player, right? He's a really good role player on a good team. On this team, he's not going to, you know, as a second round pick. I think those are only 3-year contracts. I don't think the Bulls are going to be in position to, you know, really do anything for a couple of years. So. I talked myself off the ledge on that one, but even so, it's still frustrating.
I think you're right.
To an asset. Not according to the guys on the podcast that mentioned you today. They think that it's going to be a 1-year turnaround, and that's when they said that, what do you think I am, C-Red Fred?
Well, I will say, if they get Porter, and Tim, I'm going in on what you say. Tim, you said Porter is, where does he rank on the best high school players you've ever seen?
Well, he's right up there. You know, I know you posted the one highlight clips of him with USA Basketball and the Nike Hoop Summit, and you know, he reminds me a lot of Durant. You know, just in terms of a guy that size and that fluid, that can handle the ball, you know, do things in the open court. Plus, he just has a certain positivity to him. You know, that I didn't pick up as much with Bagley. Not, I don't think Bagley's a bad kid or anything, but there's just a little of that magic dust in Porter Jr. that I see in Alonzo Ball, for example. That a lot of these guys are good players, but some of them have that little extra something, and Porter has it. And you know, and these other guys are good. And we'll, again, as we pursue the lottery situation, some of these players, and you know, look at the DeAndre Aytons and Mo Bambas and Miles Bridges, Luka Doncic. You know, so there's a number of guys in the mix, and certainly Bagley the third now that he's moved his clock up. Is going to be in that conversation too.
I'm going to be watching a lot of Missouri basketball this year more than I ever imagined I would, and Duke basketball, and Michigan State, because I am a huge, huge fan of Miles Bridges. I think he is going to come on strong, and just as an athlete, he is just elite. And if you know, if the rest of his games come along to any point at all, I think he's going to be easily a top three or four pick.
So. Right. And he's kind of been glossed over a little bit with Bagley's decision to move the clock up, like I said. And but I'm a big fan of Bridges as well. I like him, and I'd be very happy if a guy like that was available at 4 or 5, depending on where the Bulls are going to be picking.
What stuck with me about that Bagley, though, is the picture he took with your son, who was 6 feet tall. I mean,
yes.
Gosh, he's got to be 7 feet tall. It's got to be. He looked like a legit 7 feet, you know, based on that picture. Just how
yeah.
much taller he was.
Well, he definitely was born to play basketball. He's, you know, his length and athleticism and fluidity, you know, he's definitely an intriguing prospect and talent.
Well, isn't it great that we're going to have, though, at least in a year that we're going to suck, there's so many great storylines in the NBA that are going to be fun to watch. You're going to have great college storylines. In our quest to suck this year, it's going to be fun. I mean, the more games we lose, the more we can enjoy college basketball and think that maybe we can get, you know, one of the best players in college basketball from this year. But with trades like this, at least the league is going to be exciting. You have so many great players that are changing teams, so many interesting storylines. The West is going to be a bloodbath. And now, when it looked like the East was going to be another runaway, I still think it's another runaway, but at least you've got this. What a storyline. What a storyline. First game of the year, Cleveland and Boston, Kyrie versus LeBron. This is what it's all about, right? This is exciting.
Well, speaking of trades, what do you guys think is going to happen with the Knicks and Carmelo? That's another shoe that hasn't dropped.
I think he'll go to Houston eventually. There's just too much talk. They got to get rid of him. He won't be a Knick next year.
I think the Knicks sure take a run.
Yeah, I think if everybody just calms down, I think that team could be a playoff team if they just hold on to them. If you look at how many teams have gotten worse in the East, I think it's possible the Knicks could get the eighth spot there. With the growth of Porzingis and if Melo comes out hungry. But, you know, I think we're a little bit too far beyond the point of no return.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I feel like they've crossed the point of no return a long time ago. Cut your losses and maybe get a couple assets for the future if you can. But, I mean, I don't see Carmelo Anthony being a Knick next year. That would just be nuts. Too much bad karma.
Yep. All right, my man. Like I said, I got to get some beauty sleep. So it was great chat with you guys. Very enjoyable and truly historic trade, without a doubt. You know, one of the most surprising in my lifetime. I don't know if we'll ever see something like that, like this, where players of, I mean, Isaiah Thomas was second all NBA last year. You know, one of the best seasons offensively that you'll ever see in terms of efficiency, just incredible. And for him to be traded along with, you know, the number one unprotected pick, Kyrie Irving, obviously a great player, not going to happen a lot. That's what I want to ask.
Well,
Jim, could you recall any trades like that were this big?
Boy, in the modern era, it's hard to think of it, right? And you know, when Carmelo got traded the first time, you know, from Denver to New York, I mean, that was a pretty big blockbuster with, you know, Gallinari, and there was, you know, a lot of assets involved in that. But for two guys kind of at the peak of their careers, you know, Isaiah Thomas is never going to have a better season than he just had, and a beloved player in Boston, and we just, you know, talked a lot about what Kyrie's done, and even with his faults, you know, 3 years in the finals, you know, he arguably could have been the MVP of the finals, you know, when he hit the game winner to beat Golden State that year. And so for two guys in their prime, it's very unique. Because there's been trades in the past, like when Wilt got traded, for example, from Philly to the Lakers, it was, you know, the Lakers had to give up a bunch of assets to get him, and Wilt was just, you know, kind of tired of being in Philadelphia. And, you know, but it wasn't a player coming back to Philly, you know, similar or equal value. It was, you know, a handful of guys to, you know, try to keep Philly competitive. So nothing quite like this that immediately comes to mind, but maybe the listeners have some ideas and they can share them.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it if they do. I'd love to hear it if they do, because every time I was trying to reminisce, and it's like they're all like the James Harden trade, or just like, you know, where it's just you get back, you know, a couple young assets, and that's it. Yeah, I mean, it's never value like this, and it's never, gosh, it's like highway robbery, in my opinion. So I've never seen it like that, where it's like you need to get rid of a guy, and you're able to get back, in my opinion, way more than what his value is. It's just, people in Cleveland have got to be thrilled. They really do. Because you still can compete.
Well, look at the Chris Paul trade that just happened is a great example of it, right? So he would be someone, you know, roughly on the equivalent of those guys, meaning Kyrie or Isaiah Thomas. And, you know, and again, the Lakers, the Clippers didn't get anyone from Houston that's a superstar type player, right? They got Patrick Beverley, Sam Decker, Montrezl Harrell, you know, so kind of a mishmash of guys. Some, you know, potentially could be starters, but no one that's anything near all-star caliber. And no first-round pick that's going to be like Rickman's pick.
Right. I think age has a lot to do. I think you see the difference there between what a guy, I think Chris Paul is like what in his like early 30s, what somebody like him versus the guys that are in their late 20s, like Jimmy Butler, Paul George, versus somebody that's in their early 20s. I mean, the value goes up tremendously when you're talking about somebody. I mean, Kyrie Irving still does have, I mean, you know, theoretically, if he stayed in college the whole time, he would have just gotten out. He'd only have been in the league for like a, you know, like a year or two so far. So it's like, I mean, he still has a very bright career ahead of him. So I don't feel like Boston completely gave up everything they at least have somebody that's going to be around for a long time, but yeah, I don't get it. I don't think that this is going to make Boston. They're still going to be the second best team in the East for years to come.
All right, guys. Hey, man. Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Brad. Dude, take care, Mark. Talk to you soon.
Take care, guys, and congratulations, Tim, on your 50th episode of The Bullseye.
Yeah, thank you.